From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Certainly a fun night. Tonight should be a great night, too. Both the Cubs and Sox are in action.
You got the 47 and 48 Cubs squaring off with the 47 and 48 Cardinals.
The White Sox can whip the Twins again.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We've got Sox baseball coming your way in about an hour and a half. Bleck and Abdallah will be back at 6. Then it's Connor McKnight and the pregame show. Lennon DJ as the Sox take on the Twins one more time here this afternoon. I believe they have a day off then on Thursday. But they scored a bunch of runs late, yeah, capped by the Abreu three-run homer. The guys who, you know, have really emerged, like Vaughn and Billy Hamilton, had big hits in that game after they were trailing.
Once again, everybody's contributing.
The story with the Cubs is more about Chris Bryant not being in the lineup again. I'm told we have some David Ross audio that we'll play for you before we leave, regarding why he's not in the lineup today and what they're calling hamstring fatigue. And there's confusion. I mean, is he hurt? Is it, or do they just want to protect their asset? I don't even know if they want to protect him. They want to just protect their trade chip here. But if they do want to protect it, why are they playing? Chris Bryant plays multiple positions. He goes all out. He's shown you he plays multiple positions well. Center field, right field, left field, wherever you want him to play, he'll play it hard. He's going to dive. And yesterday he left the game with what they called hamstring fatigue. We had a whole debate about that.
It sounds like a weird, that's even a weird statement.
Yeah.
Hamstring fatigue. I've never heard of anyone with hamstring fatigue.
It looks bad for everyone. And it paints Chris Bryant into this bad lens again, where a lot of Cubs fans, you know, question him and question his toughness. I don't like that. I really don't. I feel like, you know, whether you're calling him mentally soft or if it's physically soft, I watch the kid. He's not perfect. There are things that I wish he was better at and was continuing to rake like an MVP, like a top player. But Chris Bryant came into the league with all the pressure in the world. He was a hot shot. They were belly aching about being sent down so they could control him a little bit more. There's a lot of pressure on him as the college player of the year than the minor league player of the year. And a lot of Cubs players who have come through the system through my lifetime never lived up to what that was.
He was rookie of the year.
And they buckled, and he was rookie of the year. And they went farther than I ever thought in his rookie season because of him and because of many other guys. And then all of a sudden, they had the target on their back in 2016. Chris Bryant is a rookie of the year, and we're like, the sky's the limit. How good can he be? Is this the year they end this 108-year drought? I remember showing up one playoff game in 2008 when the Cubs, I believe, had the best record in the National League. And Waddle, in this game, every Cubs infielder made an error in that game against the Dodgers. They all went around the horn, and each position player in the infield made an error. They buckled under the pressure. They got swept in that series. There's been many times the Cubs against the Padres in 84. They're up 2-0 in a 5-game series to get to the World Series, and they lost. The Bartman situation in 2003, they're up 3-2. Do you know how hard it's been for players to overcome the pressure of wearing that Cub logo on their chest? And Chris Bryant, in his second year,
Won the MVP,
and he had the last out, and he had a huge home run late in that series and contributed. When things weren't going well for him, there was one quote that someone reminded me of recently when they were down 3-1, and he stood up, he goes, look, last I know is you got to win 4 to win this series. It's 3-1. We still have time. And he was right.
He's always seemed unflappable with regard to handling pressure.
So, look, he does get banged up a little bit, and it does seem to inhibit his performance. But I'm not going to ever believe that Chris Bryant is soft. He's shown me physically and mentally too much in the eyes of lots of pressure that he can thrive with it. So it's my two cents on Bryant.
No, I mean, look, I don't think anyone's going to say to you, "Hey, Chris Bryant's a grinder." No, Chris Bryant's a thoroughbred, and I think that he has missed some times. Playing time. I don't necessarily believe that's because he's not tough. I believe at some point some players do get a reputation of being injury prone, and that could be a matter of getting hit in the hand, could be, you know, kind of anything. But, I think he's answered the bell significantly more times than not.
All right, so we'll play that here coming up. Wilbon's going to join us at 5:15, but I want to play you some of the sound from last night. Here is, first of all, this has been like the biggest surprise. If I would have told you at the start of this year, or I would have told you 3 years ago when he was a Bull, that Bobby Portis would be in the middle of a trophy presentation on a world championship NBA team, and the entire crowd would be standing, chanting his name, what would you have said?
I'd stop drinking during the day.
Right? Like, if I would have told you that Cameron Payne would come out when their Hall of Fame point guard was struggling early in game six and would score 9 or 10 points.
I'd tell you to put the pipe down.
Right. Like, never. He couldn't even make a roster after his time with the Bulls. He was in the G League, and then he had to go overseas. But the Bobby Portis stuff, you came in today, and you're like, he was their second best scorer.
Yeah, I think he was their second leading scorer in last night's game. I would argue he had some of the most important buckets.
So listen to this. This is in the trophy presentation. Malika Andrews was interviewing, I believe, Holiday at the time, and the crowd was going crazy. Take a listen with the sound on ESPN last night.
In these playoffs, that you felt embraced by the city of Milwaukee because you thought their work ethic mirrored yours. What did it mean to you to be embraced in this moment with them as a champion?
It means the world. For 10 months straight, I was at home just working out, real depressed, just real down on myself, about not being invited to the bubble with my team, having a chance just to go home and work out and hang out with my mom. I found peace again. I found peace in my life. And coming here, man, was the best thing that ever happened to me, man. I wasn't trying to for the world.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Congratulations.
There you go, Bobby Portis.
He's very well liked, for sure. Actually, Chris Middleton had 17. Bobby had 16, but Middleton had 41 minutes on the court. Bobby had 23 minutes on the court. So Chris Middleton actually scored more, but Bobby had a more efficient night in terms of points per minute.
I think Bobby Portis is, even though he showed flashes, he wasn't a terrible player here. But I think what he's most known for here in Chicago is breaking Niko Mirotic's face, isn't he?
Yes.
Like, that was one of the craziest stories we ever went through.
Look, he's averaged double-digit points in each of the last, five seasons or four seasons, I think.
Did they trade him for Otto Porter? Was he in the Otto Porter deal? Is that
Chris probably will remember that better than I. I don't recall.
Here is...
Because you're right. He went to Washington in the 18-19
season. Yeah, so that was, I believe, in the Otto Porter deal. Here's Giannis talking about doing it a different way, unlike a lot of the ways NBA championship teams have been built.
Oh, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
He wins over a lot of people if you weren't already a fan by saying stuff like that.
Listen, I think there are a lot of people out there as well that are sour on the super team concept. Like, I'm not. If you're a free agent and you want to leave like KD did and went to go to Golden State, you've earned the right to be a free agent. You want to go team up with Clay and Steph and Draymond, go do it. That's your right as a player, and I'm not going to hold that against you. Some people aren't fond of that, and I think that it's in some ways it is a refreshing
season where a guy stayed with his team, signed with his team, and found a way to help lead his team to a championship.
He is very likable. You know, he says stuff like that. He signed that deal a year before he would have been a free agent, and he keeps saying that he did it to take the pressure off of him and his team, where the question wouldn't be through this entire postseason, well, is this going to be it for Giannis in Milwaukee? And a lot of times that supersedes the task at hand.
Where do you believe the Bucks currently sit today in terms of odds to win it again next year?
I know this. I know the answer. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's third, right?
Yes, behind the Nets.
And the Lakers.
And the Lakers are, I believe the Nets are plus 225, I just saw, and the Lakers are 4-1. And then I believe the
where are the
Bucks
Suns?
Are
do the Suns, do, are there
that
odds?
That I didn't see.
But yeah, he doesn't complain much, Giannis. He came back from a knee injury before all this. Like, there is so much to like in what Giannis accomplished.
There was a thought he wasn't even going to be available. Now going forward, as you spread out and you think about different NBA issues, where does Chris Paul end up? Where does he go? Does
Doesn't he have one more year? Is it a team option? Is it a mutual option? Is it an opt-out? I thought he had one more year.
I think he has a player option, and the plan was to opt out.
Right.
So like, that's what all the reports heading into the playoffs were suggesting. Then they go on a deep run, and then they suggest he's going to stay.
So that's what the money, the money is on him staying where he is right now. Is that what the favorite, that be the choice?
Or I would say that he is really good friends with LeBron James.
I was going to say, or does he end up in L.A.?
He is a very, very good friends with LeBron James. Yeah.
So it would be another story to watch.
Yeah. I want to play you this too. And every time I see Monty Williams, and every time Monty Williams does something good, like lead a team that hadn't won a playoff game or been in the playoffs to the championship series, I always say, and the Bulls, instead of interviewing him, decided to keep Jim Boylan. Mm. And that's Monty Williams. Monty Williams, I've rarely seen this, where in the midst of the celebration, Monty Williams went to the Bucks locker room to congratulate them.
I just wanted to come and congratulate you guys as a man, as a coach. You guys deserve it, and I'm thankful for the experience. You guys made me a better coach. You made us a better team. Congratulations.
There's
one of the most well-respected guys in all the NBA, right?
Well, we got to stay with Jim.
And his story has just been... it's been amazing.
Incredible. Yeah. What he endured.
The adversity that he went through personally.
Yep. All right. So some of the sounds from the NBA Finals. Michael Wilbon will talk about it, and he joins us next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Let's talk to Michael Wilbon every Wednesday in the 5 o'clock hour. He's brought to you by Waddles, guys.
Correct. Mike brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
All right, Michael, let's get right to the chase. Yesterday lived up to the hype. I was excited to watch. I loved watching it. It was great drama. You have covered many, many NBA Finals series. Where did last night rank for Giannis, and where does his series rank in things you've seen?
Well, I'm not going to put it – I've covered too many series with, Bird and Magic and Jordan and the Miami-San Antonio series. I don't know that the series ranks for me. But Giannis's performance ranks, and it ranks right up there with Magic's performance as a rookie, 42-15-7 against Philadelphia in Philly, against Julius Irving – and Mo Cheeks and all those guys. Magic was a rookie, and that's the gold standard for me when it comes to closeout games. But Giannis, 50 points, and they needed him because Phoenix had done a really good job on Drew Holiday and Middleton. and they just weren't going to let those guys beat them. And if it was going to beat somebody's going to beat him, it was going to be the best player in the series, and that's what they made him do, and he did it. It was unbelievable. He was dominant. He was brilliant. He was, you know, he hit his free throws.
I was just going to
ask.
Going
to make him hit free throws. He hit, what did he hit, 17 and 19,
yeah,
something like that?
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that maybe the of all the things that were impressive, and there were a lot of them, the fact that he hit 17 of 19 free throws, maybe the most unexpected quality performance?
Tommy, yes, because that, look, they're basically saying, the opponent's saying, okay, if you haven't been able to concentrate to do this thing very well in your career, so we'll follow you. And they did, and he responded. I mean, my God. I mean, the guy was he was – that's his greatest performance. You can't – again, I rank Magic's performance higher. And maybe Michael's 45-point performance against Utah in his last game as a Bull. But you can't ask anybody to play better than that. Maybe those guys played better. Maybe they didn't. That's a matter of judgment, opinion. But Giannis, man, that's great. I mean, look, the one thing I was worried about with the Suns up 2-0 was that they hadn't suffered enough. It was all coming too easy. They had won 9 straight playoff games at one point in this postseason. They won games on the road. They won all their game 4s. I mean, the Suns were doing everything in their power. Now, but suffering is the name of the game in the NBA playoffs, particularly to win a championship. Remember all the losses Michael had? And people who are young now, people who are under 50 don't even remember all those losses that I'm referring to. I remember them because I was there. Michael and, you know, team remember. But, you know, Giannis had been through those things too. The Suns had not. And I thought that gave them an edge. I mean, you don't forget those things. Just like the Suns are not going to forget. They've now suffered. If they can get back on track and get to these big important games in the finals again, what happened to them over the last 4 days will serve those guys well. Yeah. You know, Ayton and the other younger players, Bridges. It will serve them well to remember how just awful it was to experience that.
Michael Wilbon joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You've told us before that you're finishing up a book on Chris Paul. I know it's not a basketball book, but what do you believe, knowing him? We were just discussing this. Does he run it back with Phoenix, or does he look to somehow get with LeBron, his longtime friend?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't. I certainly haven't asked him that in during the finals and conference finals. I don't know. And it has so much more to do than just running it with LeBron, his friend, which is obviously the professional part of it. Chris's family lives right now in.
Did we lose him? Was he going to say Chris's family lives right there in L.A.? Is that what I thought he was going to say?
I don't know.
And boy, that was a cliffhanger right there. What will Michael Wilbon say about where Chris Paul's family lives? Find out next time. So, yeah, that was a we'll get Michael back. Michael is back. It was a cliffhanger, Michael. You said where Chris Paul's family lives is?
Los Angeles. They don't live in Arizona. They live in L.A. Remember, he was in L.A. for whatever number of years he was there, 6-7 years. So you don't just – players all – I mean, people outside of teams – Tommy knows this. You know how many guys you played with whose families weren't in Chicago when you were with the Bears? They were – they might have been 7 years somewhere else or 5 years somewhere else. They might have been 2 years and just figured out, okay, this is where I want to be. My family needs to be. So Chris's family's in L.A. He lived apart from them for 2 years, Oklahoma City and Phoenix. Now, Phoenix wasn't really apart as much because they could come to Southern California. He could sneak home. But I don't know how much that factors in. I think I said to you guys, you know LeBron and Magic are going to be on the phone the moment this series is over, and they have been. Roundabout.
Magic was already tweeting, I think.
Yes, that's my point. Yes. Yeah, and why wouldn't you? Yeah. If you're Magic Johnson, you know the importance of having a brilliant point guard leader. And who would you call? Who's available in terms of contractually? So I don't know. I don't know. I know that Chris likes playing for Monty. I know that he loves playing with Devin Booker. He loves mentoring DeAndre Ayton, loves it. I know because he's told me. And you can just see. You can see. If you were watching the season, anybody watching the season before these last 2 weeks to see how much Chris Paul enjoyed what he was doing. But it doesn't mean as you turn 37 years old that you don't take a shot. When one of your best friends in the business calls you and says, hey, we could use you here. Don't have no idea how interested, if interested. But that's going to certainly be tempting.
Mike, as you zoom out and you look at what the Bucks were able to do, it's a homegrown team. It's not one of these super teams. Good, bad, or indifferent. Everyone has a different opinion. Is there a statement being made here? Or do you look at what transpired and say, look, if the Nets don't get injured, that super team is a team that, you know, probably runs through not only the Bucks but to an NBA title?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the super teams haven't fared well the first time around. Right? I mean, LeBron did that in Miami. They didn't win. And by the way, they should have won one of four. They won two. They should have won one.
Yeah,
I mean,
San Antonio choked. Yeah.
You know, if they get a rebound, if the Spurs get a rebound, that's a 1-3 situation. And they beat Oklahoma City. But, you know, I don't know if I guess Brooklyn's already the favorite. So, I mean, yeah, you could say they would. But let me just say this about Giannis staying in Milwaukee in a small market. I mean, he made it work without having to put a super team together and go to some perceived glamorous place. He didn't need it, and he played great. And it looked like he was going to be out with an injury. And remember, he did miss the final, what, two games of that Atlanta series?
Yeah, so, yes.
I mean, Giannis, I mean, you know, this is an incredible story for an African immigrant to go and essentially be living on the streets of Europe in Greece. And you talk about lifting a team. How about first lifting his family? And just, being somebody that he's somebody I admire. And he said, I'm staying right here in Milwaukee. I don't need to go to Miami or New York or L.A. I don't need to do that. I'm staying right here. We're going to win right here. I love that. And let's face it, as a son of the Midwest, I applaud him. Everybody knows I was rooting for Phoenix to win. I applaud Giannis for who he is as a man. And I admire the hell out of them.
And one of the things that I admired most about these Bucks is how they responded to adversity. If you go back and look at how all this transpired, I believe in the fourth quarter of Game 4, they were down 9. They got down huge after the first quarter of Game 5. And then they were down 47-42 at the half of this past game.
They were.
And they came back in all three occasions and showed, like, that's what defines you as a champion, facing the adversity and finding an answer.
That's right, and it's happened for them, not just you. That's a great point, Tommy, about what happened in this series. But look at what happened 2 years ago against Toronto and last year in the bubble against Miami. I mean, they were down and apparently out, and they needed to make the trade, which they did, for Jrue Holiday. And they tried to get Bogdanovich, and that would have been amazing if they come up with him. I mean, they might have had an easier time of it all the way through the season. But yes. Yes, how you respond to that heartbreak and heartache. And that's now going to go forward, whether Chris Paul runs it back with them or not. That's going to begin to define Devin Booker and define, you know, Mikal Bridges and define DeAndre Ayton. It's going to define them like it defined LeBron and like it defined Michael and like it defined basically every great player except Magic and Tim Duncan. Magic and Tim Duncan, they got in, they won. And so winning defined them even from the very beginning. But, yeah, I agree with you. It does define the Milwaukee Bucks. It does now define Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mike, like you, I grew up here, and I always like to joke about Milwaukee being like our little brother. You know what I mean? Like, I used to go up and see Bulls games at the Bradley Center, and it would be mostly Bulls fans as a fan. You know how it gets with the Brewers. A lot of Cubs fans go up there. But that was a big city party last night, was it not, with the atmosphere inside and outside of the arena?
No, I thought that was a small city party. I thought that's what a place that understands its sense of community does.
Right.
New York and Chicago, we've had big parties now. In L.A., but that's just sheer numbers. This, no, I thought it was a small city party. It reminds me of San Antonio. I've been in San Antonio for victories, for championship victories, and it's different. It's different in San Antonio and Milwaukee. I'm trying to think of what else. I'm not old enough to have been there for Portland in 1977. But I think when it's small towns and people know each other, listen, you could feel it on the train. I took Amtrak from Union Station here in Chicago to Milwaukee yesterday afternoon, and all three cars were just full of people in green jerseys. They were just Bucks. They were Bucks fans who live in Chicago, and I had Milwaukeeans who live now here. I had I had 24 people last night come up to me or just talk to me while I'm sitting there watching the game, and they're like, "Hey, listen, I live in Lincoln Park. I live in Streeterville. I live in Flossmoor, but I'm from Milwaukee." And I took the train up. I saw you on my train yesterday or today. And it was festive, but it was also communal. It was what I have come to expect when I go to smaller communities. Like, Cleveland's a smaller community. I know Cleveland used to be the sixth biggest city in the country at, the turn of the 20th century, but it's not anymore. Cleveland is much smaller than San Antonio. Cleveland's much smaller than two other cities in Ohio, starting with Columbus. So I just congratulated people as I walked past them last night on the way out of the arena and to the car to drive back home in Chicago last night. I was, as much as I was hoping for Chris Paul and the Suns to win that series, I was very happy for the people of Wisconsin.
Well, great work. Can't wait to catch up with you more now that you're back in the city. And we will talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good, you guys. Be well.
There you go. Michael Wilbon every Wednesday.
Brought to you by Design First Builders. Before you remodel, design first.
We had this debate, and I continue to believe it to be the case. I believe Zach can be like Devin Booker. And we have one of our old NBA guys.
Oh, boy.
Who just showed up.
I need to give him a big hug.
So this, we got to have him on the air, and I'm sure he's going to laugh at this notion. Find out coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Nick!
I missed your musk.
We haven't played that in so long.
Makes my heart hum.
We broke protocol to do that.
Yeah.
Where's that laugh?
I missed it too.
Yeah.
I missed it too.
So Nick's been, you've been riding around town and you've been, Nick, in case you don't know, now covers the Warriors. Still for ESPN, you see him all over television. You read his articles.
He's a TV star now.
A TV star, used to be the Bulls beat reporter here for ESPN Chicago and ESPN 1000. And he's been in town. I saw him in the burbs over the weekend. He was going from house to house.
Yeah.
He was going from John Greenberg's house to Randy Merkin's house to Cap's house to my house to the Westin in Wheeling to Milwaukee on Monday.
Big party. Big party. It just feels so damn good to be back here.
Yeah.
There is only one Chicago, of which you guys told me all along, and I knew all along. But when you leave and you're away, because it's been 2 years since I've been back, because I didn't obviously get to travel as much when Steph broke his hand in that second year. I wasn't here. Then the pandemic hits, and nobody could really go anywhere. So it's been 2 years since I have been back here. And to see the city again and to just be around and...
It's vibrant again because several months ago, like we have lamented there, like the city was like most cities. I mean, people weren't out and about and it just didn't feel right. It didn't seem right. But things have gotten back to somewhat, back to normal. So it's been good.
In Chicago, Chicago in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best city in town. You just can't.
I hear the Barkley quote. Anytime I hear anybody else talk about any other city in the summer, I'm like, Chicago's the best summer city in America. If he told you all that once, he told you 3,000 times.
Yeah,
he's right. It is the truth. It is the best. There isn't a second.
So what do you make of what you saw last night? Giannis's performance in the Bucks hoisting the trophy.
Giannis is that great. And the scariest part of all, as we've talked about for years, is that Giannis is going to get a lot better. His jumper is going to get better. He's going to put in the work. He's going to be a better free throw shooter, as we saw last night with the way he stepped up. But that team, They caught a break with Brooklyn because they're not getting by Brooklyn if Harden's healthy and Kyrie's healthy, but that's the way sports work. And they took advantage of it, and he is incredible. So I'm really happy because before I left, I was going up there a lot more. And I was talking to him. I was talking to all the people in that organization, and they knew. Remember somebody told me, they said, we have the unicorn. We have the guy who's going to make everything happen for us. We have to keep him happy. And they did.
Yeah.
And he stayed. And that is such a rarity now in the NBA with guys not wanting to leave to go to bigger markets. He really developed a love for Milwaukee. And I remember it was in 2017. He said to me, I want what Kobe did. I want what Tim Duncan did. I want what Dirk had. They won and they stayed the whole way. And now that he's won, he has cemented the legacy that he always thought was there. And no matter what he does until the end of time, he will always have that title in that place. And that relationship will be special.
Our guy, Nick Friedel, came by to give out hugs and to check out Chicago again. And we had to put him on. And I had to do this in 5 minutes because you know Nick. Nick's going to offend some Bulls fans here along the way.
Probably so.
He's a Bulls hater. He's always been right. But the one thing. Now, down here, and this is what I tease going into the break. Waddle and I both believe there's a chance. It's not guaranteed. We think Zach can do stuff that Devin Booker can do. And Devin Booker was a guy who had never won before, who, until he found a point guard, was on a losing team. They went into the bubble. They did some work. And then all of a sudden, now Devin Booker is being recognized as a guy who take that next step. We believe, as far as his athleticism, his shooting ability,
scoring ability
with the addition of a point guard, Zach can take the next step. You've been critical. Are you going to shoot this one down or are you with us?
No, I don't think he can do that. I think the Bulls are looking at JV Jimmy right now. They didn't want to keep Jimmy and pay Jimmy because they didn't think they could win with Jimmy Butler as the number one face of a title team. And you can't put that on this front office because that wasn't their choice. But my point is, this is a watered-down version of Jimmy.
Well, it's not really, isn't it? Doesn't he have all the qualities that Devin Booker has? He's a
guy. Especially a better three-point shooter.
He shoots
defense! Defense! We've been having this argument for 4 years.
But that's why he's not a JV right. Jimmy, because Jimmy plays defense. That was his calling card. But this is a guy who can hit every step back. This is a guy who's as athletic as anybody. He can handle the ball, too. He's shown you he can assist. He's never played with a point guard, Nick. And until he does, can you really define him in a box?
This is the argument you make if you want to believe it can happen. To Zach's credit, he proved me wrong. I didn't think they should have signed him to the deal they did. He exceeded any expectations I have. I just don't believe that you're going to view him the same way that you view him right now, because right now you're viewing him through the lens of a guy who's making $20 million a year. He signs his max deal whenever that happens, if he decides he wants to stay in Chicago, and then he's making $40-plus million. And you're going to need him to do more to win. So I understand the argument. The argument is, this guy is a hell of a player. He's only getting better. He's never really played with a lot of talented guys around him. The flip side of that argument is, still, he's not a very good defender, although he is trying more. And no team he's ever been on has won a damn thing.
How about Devin Booker?
Well,
this
is the first time they were ever in the postseason.
I would take Devin Booker in a heartbeat.
Well, now, right. Devin's a step ahead. I'm not saying.
But he's always been a step ahead. Well, right. That's my point.
He's a step ahead. Now Jimmy's got to take that step. Jimmy's got to. Zach, I mean, you got Jimmy in my head. You got to get Zach to take the next step. I'm not saying he's there. I'm saying with the addition of the point guard work, and it's sort of like we used to yell at each other on Jimmy. You know how much I loved Jimmy, and I always said the sky's the limit for Jimmy. I believe that Zach's got all the tools and that he's like Jimmy, he is a worker.
He wants to get better.
Which means his defense can improve. There's a limit to how much he can improve, but if you're willing to put in the effort, you've got a chance to at least be decent defensively.
And I will still hold my ground all the way until he proves me wrong and the three of us are sitting in Grant Park. Because I don't believe that somebody who at this stage of his career has only shown to be a hell of a dunker at first and now a hell of a scorer, and he made his All-Star team, that you can be that much better defensively after all these years of being really bad. And this is the last thing I would say on this. There is a difference between being an all-star and being voted onto an all-star team. And for me, right now, watching Zach LaVine's progression, he deserves all the credit in the world. He's made that team, but I just don't believe he is that caliber of player who is going to make everyone else around him better, even with a veteran point guard.
Where are you going for dinner? You going for dinner out with anybody? Where are you going?
There's a lot on the list. I'm definitely really? Hitting Joe's. I think tonight I'm going to Gibson's. Got some Bavettes in there.
A lot of steak coming my way. Man, there's a lot.
You're not sitting by yourself, are you? You meeting up with friends?
Oh yeah, there's a different group every night. Okay, everybody's getting
on the menu too.
Everybody's
He's
getting
got a lot
something.
Of gout on the menu.
Hey, I'm back in the gym. I mean, I'm going back in the program from 3 years
are
ago.
Are they doing anything in the gym when you're in that gym now?
Yeah, they're serving appetizers and drinks.
They got Cheval in there. Too. I mean, we got a whole bunch of stops to make.
You've been to the East Bank Club, right? They've got to actually get a
hello,
bar.
Bicycle. Yeah. Hello, treadmill.
They've got a bar.
Hello, elliptical.
And a food station.
I'm off to Bivette's. It's right around the corner.
Walks in the front door, walks out the back door of the gym.
See, they don't treat you like this in San Francisco, do they?
No, not even
that guy Kolsky, does he?
No, Kolsky's a good dude. He's a Chicago guy.
Kolsky used to listen to Carmen and me. Yeah, I love Kolsky.
He told me. No, there's some great people out there, but there's only one Chicago.
That's awesome. Nick,
always good to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, buddy.
Always.
There's our guy, our friend, no matter how much he hates on the players we love.
Yeah.
We still
love him.
We love him, and he hasn't been wrong often. But I think he's going to be wrong on Zach. David Ross addresses Chris Bryant, and Deion Sanders wants to be called coach, or at least treated like Nick Saban. We'll play you that stuff next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Right, I've been waiting to hear this. I haven't heard it yet. Chris Bryant is out of the lineup today. They called it hamstring fatigue.
Hamstring fatigue.
We don't know what's going on. Are they just protecting a trade chip? Or is he really hurt again? David Ross was asked that to give an update on Chris Bryant. This is what he said earlier today.
I talked to him today. He feels fine. I hadn't talked since he's gotten in the trainer room and getting all his stuff done. I think he's feeling good. I think... in my mind, they'll be available off the bench today and be in there tomorrow. But we'll assess that as he gets through all the stuff from the trainers and get their feedback.
Can you tell us more how it went down last night? Obviously, he has to come in the dugout and tell someone, I'm feeling something. And you described it as fatigue.
Well,
how did it go down?
I think I put on the radar with you guys before the game, right? I had talked to him before the game, and I knew he had some heavy legs coming in. So I think that was just a product of, like, I start to see I'm going to regret if a real problem. He tries to stretch. He rolls over a ground ball in the hole, and he's trying to stretch it out, and something bad happens to first base. Like, that doesn't – that's not – that's me being irresponsible as a manager. So I just try to listen to, like, my inner, like – that and listen to him and the trainers. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. He told me before the game and last night, the night before, I knew a little bit of just some heavy legs, and I was mapping out a day off the next day, and it just didn't want a real problem to arise.
So did you see something during the game that said that to them?
No. I think, well, I obviously, knowing that going in, you are watching the workload, and get hit by pitch first, ended up scoring that run, the dive and play, the ball, and then just like he talked to the trainer, just saying it's just that they kept hearing, you know, just some heavy, achy legs.
I think what I heard was he'll be available to pinch hit tonight. He'll be with the Mets tomorrow.
I think that's what I heard.
That you
speak
what I
David Ross?
Is that what I heard? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I caught that wrong.
Yeah. If we blow this for Jed, if me as a manager, my inner Jed was speaking to me, get him out of the game.
When was the last time Chris Bryant had heavy legs after playing four consecutive games? Because coming out of the All-Star game where he played in the field,
right,
he played in all three games against Arizona and started against St. Louis in the game Monday started last night as well.
Yeah. I want to also play you this. We didn't get to this earlier. Deion Sanders, who is the head coach of Jackson State.
Coach Sanders.
Yeah, his name is Deion Sanders. Yeah. And that's coach what it's Sanders. About. It's about coach. You've worked with Deion. You know Deion. I want to know what you think about this. Take a listen to the press conference.
Hey, Deion. I was just wondering if you could.
Oh, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion now. Okay.
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion. Right. Just.
Sus. And then Deion Sanders walked away. If you hear the interpretation, his whole explanation, never does he say in there, I want to be called coach.
I think he created a problem for himself. Now, I think the reporter was also being a wise ass at the end as well by saying, okay, Deion. And I've heard other people suggest, well, they just said, you want to treat me like Nick Saban.
Yeah, treat me like you treat Nick. And he says, I call Nick Nick. So, Deion, you know, that's the point I think he was trying to make.
But at that point, couldn't you have also extrapolated the you know, from A to B, you know that for whatever reason he wants to be called a coach or whatever it is. Look, I think Deion made it difficult on himself. I don't think there's any doubt.
I don't know.
You can't also tell me that the reporter wasn't also being a wise ass as well.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but he also wasn't going to call him coach. I mean,
well, that's something to work out going forward. Like, I always call somebody, like, I'm just prone to be calling people coach.
I call him dad.
You do call him
Nick.
Dad.
Yeah, so would you go to a Deion Sanders Zoom and say, hey, dad?
Well, not Deion Sanders.
Wait a minute. He wants to be treated like Nick Saban.
So.
Should probably win some more games.
Now it's about winning.
Well, no, I mean, listen, I'm not saying he hasn't earned the right to be called coach, but he's, you know, they're both in the wrong, but
that's what I'm saying. It's like Deion could have handled it in a way that would have made it less difficult on him, but there's no doubt the reporter was being a wise guy at the end.
Listen, what Deion did on the field is great, but what he's doing on the sideline. Win some more games.
Didn't he have a controversy with a wallet? Wasn't there a wallet controversy
out of his office he had stuff stolen.
But it was really, no, it was like someone from the university put it somewhere else. Like, it was an odd story. I think he's making a point to his team by saying, they don't treat us the same way that they treat other football programs. I'm here to restore that. And we get overlooked. I even get overlooked. And I believe he's turning this into a message to his kids and to say, hey, let's earn that respect this season by the way we play. No?
I don't know. I mean, it sounded good. I mean, it sounded like as if you were his defense attorney on this issue.
It's a teachable moment like he's using.
Look, I think what he needs, if he wants to be called coach, he needs to let everybody know that, this is how I would like to be addressed. Again, I think that is creating more problems for yourself than you need, but it was just weird. I heard that this was their who's the douche conversation today.
It's a good one. I mean,
yeah, I thought it was too, and I think that you could have handed the award to both.
Yeah.
I thought, as Adam said, I think you could find fault with the approach by both.
All right. We've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up here in two short minutes. Not a full ride.
Not a half a ride. It's a quarter of a ride.
Because we've got White Sox baseball. They're red hot. They're taking on the Twins again. 6:30 pregame with Connor McKnight, Lennon DJ along as well. 7:10 first pitch. How about this wide variety of people that we talked to? Michael Wilbon, Nick Friedel, and Chris Bryant's hamstring Elmer.
That's a guest list.
And that wasn't even a bit. I mean, that was somebody calling in. We don't even know still who it was. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. They're up in 2 minutes, like I said. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
and give them more buys than highs.
Waddle, 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 then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, till the very next day, bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.